One is the revolting nature of man, and if I scroll up a bit, I'll be able to start. Okay, so Revelation 12:7-12 says, "Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short.'" So the definition of a revolution is a forcible overthrow of government or social order in favor of a new system. The verb would be arise in rebellion. The word revolt means rise in rebellion. Revolts aren't necessarily a bad thing. I mean, I can disagree with someone or something and revolt against it, or find whatever it is revolting to me.
That sort of thing. So find whatever it is, is revolting. But,
as a Christian, I can't just operate in any form or fashion that I want to, even as a result of major injustice, constantly being hurled at me, or offensive situations that are ongoing and never ending, my response has to be a godly response. Now, that's not going to be suitable for everybody, or everybody's not going to agree, because if you start thinking about the climate, and then if you think about it and the tension rises, you feel like what I tried before didn't work, so I need to try something else. I need to keep trying. And until finally, I'm even tired of trying, so anything is suitable right now. I don't care what it looks like, or what I'm looking like, or how I'm demonstrating it. I'm at wit's end, and so I want to really make a point, even to my death. So some people are very much martyrs, not necessarily always martyrs for Christ, but very much willing to die for their cause or their belief. Bless the Lord. And if you remember back in the day, people would set themselves on fire. They would set themselves on fire and be ablaze. That this was happening pretty often, and then there's others that would fast until near death, and all kinds of sorts of choices were made to get a point across, in a lot of cases for not for themselves totally or solely, but for others. It still matters to God, because that looks even more admirable and more Christocentric, that if I'm dying for someone else. But if I'm dying for someone else by killing myself, then that would be a sin, because I don't own myself, right? I can't. Fasting is good when you're doing it for the Lord, but to fast myself into near death is depriving myself of nutrients and all the health benefits that God wants me to have for his purpose. So, we've gone beyond that. We're willing to risk our lives, for a purpose, and we want our voices heard to a degree, so much so that we're willing to,
be destructive, you know, tear up everything, and so what? Everything's been done against us or against me, and so this is my last cry. Something's got to happen, right? So it's a sad state of affairs, but it's an expected. We should expect that as this world turns, as the world turns, it's not getting better. It's getting worse. And there's going to be major injustices, and there's going to be major offenses, and things are going to graduate to the degree that something needs to happen. What we want to have happen is for the peace of God to permeate this place. If we would humble ourselves, he'd heal our land. However, that's not what's been prophesied in the days to come. It's the prophecy is not that we're going to have it, the peace that we're looking for. There will be a counterfeit peace, of course, but it won't be the peace that the world won't experience the peace of God in the way that he's making it available to us believers. Bless the Lord. I think the trick is, one of the tricks of the enemy, because he's full of tricks, is that he's in the past instituted through men treaties, contracts, you know, all kinds of different solutions that once signed, this would help us govern our affairs between each other, one to another, in a peaceable way. But those are always short-lived, and the reform that we're expecting to have happened didn't, and we're fed up. But that type of pursuit of peace is actually not a covenant with God. It's a covenant with men making pacts with men. And that kind of peace is short-lived. It's short-term. It was never real. It was satisfactory or satisfied things for the moment. But it couldn't be long-lasting because the eternal God, who is long-lasting, wasn't in it. So what we want is God in all of our affairs so that we can have his peace. And it's a peace that far passes our understanding. It's a peace that we can only get from the Prince of Peace. So having said all that, my scripture here concerning the revolt that's going to take place is a revolt. Well, let's put it like this. That wasn't necessarily a revolt. The earliest revolt that we know of is when Satan got, he wanted to be like the Most High. And he said in his heart that he was going to ascend his throne above the stars of God. He will set his throne on high. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High God. And Isaiah 14, 13 through 14, that's the scripture, is describing actually an event that happened that's actually still part of Satan's present nature, even more of a craving now than before. He obviously didn't like the way things were. Now, it's different here that we're witnessing situations that we know are unfair and unjust, and we don't like the way things are. But Satan didn't like the splendor and pleasure of God's kingdom and everything that God afforded him because he wanted it. That's like an overthrow. You know, it's not just a revolt. It's an overthrow. It's a mutiny. It's treason. That's what it is. And he has a treasonous heart with a plan to overthrow. Now, if we're not in Christ, what's going on is that he's able to influence us
to operate by the volition of his own heart, which is corrupt. It's corrupt. It's insane. And it's growing more and more insane as he exists. He has a drive, and he wants to meet his goal. And the unfortunate thing, I guess, for Satan is that he's bound right now. He has access, actually, in the cosmos. Paul talks about the three heavens, and the second heaven is the cosmos. Obviously, Satan has access there because he's noted presenting himself to God with the other angels in the book of Job, you know, and then he's doing what he does. He's casting doubt on Job, like he actually accuses us to God all the time, as if God doesn't know that he has a remnant that he's going to take out regardless. But his job is Satan. The word devil means slanderer, diablos. Satan is a slanderer. He's an accuser. He accuses the brethren to the brethren. Now, I said all that to get to another point. God's kingdom, in Jeremiah 29:11, God is telling us, he knows the plans he thinks towards us. They're plans of good and not evil, of a future and an expected end. He loves us. He has plans for us. His kingdom is one that you can walk away from, which is what a lot of us are doing. We're walking away from his will and his way. You know, there's a belief that, you know, you can't walk away from God. You know, he's ever present, and you could never throw your salvation away. Well, I don't know if the people that are willing to walk away have had a conversion experience that's sincere in the first place. And in the second place, if they have, they don't have a vision of where we're going to live forever and with whom and what that really is all about. And then the vision of suffering is not necessarily clear, that peace is not absent of suffering. God's peace is supernatural, and you can have this peace in jail while you're being beaten, while you're being nailed to a cross. Now, I'm not an advocate for brutality to demonstrate peace, and no one wants to suffer. Yeah, no one wants to suffer. You know, who does? But, and then I'm not even saying that while you're suffering, you don't feel pain. But what I'm saying is, for the joy that's set before us, this drive that we have should be very comparable to the drive that the people have for trying to take the government by force. Because we're supposed to try to take the kingdom by force. That means we're supposed to have this same veil. And if we don't have it, we have an opportunity every day to ask for it. Every day, every moment, we can ask God to make us like your son, eager to die, you know, for the sake of things, even unto our death. We are willing to die for you because we know, number one, it's greater later. You know, it's going to be definitely a better place we're entering into. Number two, there are rewards for our denying our rights to go and make the world a better place, as Pastor Jamie said a couple weeks ago. You know, that whole that promotion that so many singers and celebrities have been making over the years, that this peace is available to us through our own doing. Men are able to achieve love and peace on earth. I don't believe that. I believe men can experience what they've been experiencing, and that's temporal, periodic times of agreement.
Bless the Lord.
Satan's kingdom is different than God's kingdom, because although God doesn't want to lose us, He loves us and wants us to enter into His rest and share in His joy. Satan's kingdom is one that once you're in there, you're trapped. He doesn't want to let you go. It's a dungeon. It's everything that you honestly are so deceived by, you don't even know you're enslaved. It's like when they said the slaves didn't know they were free. You know, bless the Lord. So it's different. It's like it's a sucker punch. It's darkness that's covering the minds and the hearts of people. And whether they believe they're moving forward for a worthy cause, they're not operating according to the will of God. But Satan has an agenda, and he can get this agenda met by willing subjects that are actually denizens of hell. This is where we're headed when we're operating against the will of God. Now, this is a hard pill to swallow, and it's not going to be palatable. The youth are not going to accept this. And one reason why, I'm not saying all of them won't, but God has a call on the lives of many people. But they haven't necessarily been raised in a Judeo-Christian environment. I mean, the Bible's been shut out, and prayer's been shut out, and all of this has been shut out, right? And what's the replacement? Porn, you know, is available all over the internet. You know, drugs. I'm running into so many people that are so intoxicated. I mean, it's almost strange what their belief is in regards to the drug they're using. Especially, I can't say it's worse than any of them, but crystal meth has taken on a whole new meaning today. And so we have to be aware that, okay, yeah, we can't, they'll think we're crazy. When I talk, if I'm not speaking to power, which is the saying now, and joining in, you know, the movement, or, you know, or any of those things, they'll either write me off as he's old, baby boomer, and I am. I'm old, and I'm a baby boomer, you know, and all of that. Or he's a Uncle Tom, because, or he has this white man's version of Jesus, and, or he needs to study, you know, all the issues that are surrounding this so that he can get a better understanding of the Bible. So these things are their part to stomach, you know, because I know that I mean the best when I'm trying to usher Jesus into the equation. I mean, I know I am, because I believe Jesus wants us to stick our necks out. And that saying means a whole lot. Sticking your neck out, the guillotine is apt to come down, right? Cut your head off. This is the contention, and even the enemy accusing us to each other. He's working to whisper in my ear to give it up. Give up this fight. Racial unity, racial reconciliation, all of this stuff. That's yesterday. We tried that. We tried it before, and it didn't work. And you're still harping on that. And while you're harping on it, our people are getting killed. They're getting brutalized out in the street. Their complaint makes a lot of sense. It's understandable. But what we need to understand is we didn't try God's way of peace. We tried the world's way of peace. And the Lord is constantly telling us to return to Him. Come home. Humble yourselves. You know, come back to me, right? And so it's different. It's like the trick is, the enemy is, you tried that, move on. Get some guns. You know, it's time to go and blow some heads off. It's tear down, burn up. Because you tried everything else. When in fact, you haven't. We have not. We owe it to ourselves to listen and don't lie to ourselves. We really haven't tried God to the degree. Now, what's going to happen is that while we're here, while Christians are here, there's going to be an opportunity to change up, to come to Christ. The door is open. As long as the Holy Spirit is still here, that door of salvation is open. And that means a lot. It means God still loves us in spite of us running out against His will. In spite of the fact that we're tricked, He understands the deceptive strategies of the enemy. He understands. But He also knows He has a call on the lives of many people. And they can feel it. But they willfully reject that call for many reasons. One of them is the persecution of their friends, the oppression, the ridicule, this is what we're doing today, and you need to come and join us. And it makes perfect sense until you think that question you had about Christ, it's never been answered. You're willing to go and pursue all these worldly endeavors. But you're unwilling to give Christ the chance in your life. And this is important. It's important. Now, I know this audience is about our church. But afterwards, we usually shoot the message around. So, you know, I could get killed for what I'm saying. You know, I mean, I know that. But what we need to realize is that this is what Christians do. And I'm going to tell you why it's what Christians do. And why we've been, even in the body of Christ, why we've been so tricked. So we've been having Bible study discussions. Pastor Jamie's been leading on Thursday night. And, you know, that's open to the public, right? No? Oh, so you can't all join, but just know we're having them. And so we'll tell you about it. So they may one day be open to the public. Yeah, not quite, not just yet. But we've been learning a lot. And so, it, of course, it's centered around the stuff that's going on. You know, the injustices and all of that sort of thing. But, you know, this whole racism thing is a trick. Because through Darwinian evolution, you know, it was thought, based on his theories, that macroevolution, the changing of kinds, was slow to take place in darker-skinned people than lighter-skinned people. And so if you were lighter, you were more intelligent, more superior in all you're doing. And darker-skinned people were more close to primates. They hadn't graduated from, you know, monkey type of thinking and doing. That's insulting in itself for the darker-skinned people, right? So we've been putting up with that for a little while, you know. Okay, but understanding that if Darwin... See, that kind of message wouldn't come from God. That would come from someone that's a non-believer, that is rejecting the Bible and revolting against the kingdom of God. It's a revolt. Right? So, he's able, because this world is also in a revolt, he's able to get that message out, and it can go all over all over the world and people that are also not in tune to the voice of God or the Word of God. They buy into this. Now, I'm not going to just jump into how nonsensical it is, because from a biblical standpoint, it refutes everything God is talking about. He created us, and you know, He made us in His image, and so we're like Him in a sense that we have His attributes. This is not just believers, this is non-believers. Everyone is made, every human being is made in the image of God. And when we think about racism, yeah, God made us one race, and it's human. And so we've been learning these things, that even in this room right now, there's several people in here in this church, and none of us is the same color. Not one of us. And if you were in your house and you gave birth to as many kids as our pastor, he can look and see. Not one child is the same shade of skin as the next. Okay? So the spectrum, it goes from, let's take it from left to right. Dark being on this side and light being on that side. God made various colors for our skin due to melanin, that some have more melanin and some have less, but it doesn't make any of us lesser or greater in His eyes, right? Bless the Lord. So what the Lord is trying to convey to us, I believe today, is that there's another trick. Now that trick might work in the secular world because they see through a lens that is much different than ours. But we don't have an excuse in the body of Christ for Darwinian evolution to be the basis by which we function together, because it's divisive. It's going to keep this body separate. So while they say age-old earth theories are an attack on Genesis, which actually makes void the need for salvation in Christ, when they say that, that makes sense. This attack on race, I believe, was intended to keep the body separate. Christians added with each other in like manner, according to the world today, that's added with each other, refusing to forgive each other, refusing to look at the bigger picture. Everyone's been tricked. But we have a God that explains and breaks it down. And if we get in His Word and we try to understand Him, He's going to let us know. You're made in My image. You're priceless to Me. I don't care what the world says. You're one race. There's not many races. We all come from Adam. That's biblical. Now, Darwin is going to come in, and others, oh, it's many of them, they're going to step in and they're going to say, no. No, we come from fish and animals and all of this kind of sort of stuff, and we evolve. And, you know, without digging into that, you know, and they confuse macro with microevolution, but without digging into that, there's no proof for that. There's no, you don't find evidence of partial half man, half fish. Because if evolution is actually happening that way, you would see some evidence of something morphing into something else. Somewhere on earth. Somewhere. So this is, alright, so look, the devil has the colleges prevail with this mess, right? The high schools, they're working their way backwards down to the kids, teaching them sex that even that's perverted sex, kids, and then allowing the kids. Now look, this might seem right to you, and that's understandable. This is the point I'm making. I understand that you think the way you think, because I used to think the way I thought. Okay? But when we come to Christ, us believers, we take every thought captive in Christ so that he corrects our thoughts and our opinions, and then he gives us new thinking. Okay? And then our struggle is trying to take that new life out and offer it to others. So what we don't want to do in the body is allow this lie to pull us out of our command to pray always, first and foremost. Not just like we're going to distance ourselves from any protest, period, because all we do is pray. We're going to distance ourselves from looking like the world in any kind of way, in any way that, look, our good can't be spoken evil of. Look, Jesus wasn't out passing out tracts in the protests. You get it? It seems like this is the thing to do. We'll get out and pass out tracts. I'm not saying that we can't do that, but the motive is we may die out here, but we're dying for Christ. But we're going out here to win souls. We're not necessarily going out here to correct the world, because the world has been trying and trying and trying to achieve something we believe can only be achieved in Christ. Bless the Lord. Look, from the shades of our skin, I personally believe, but I haven't done any research, you guys keep me here on time, but I personally believe that there's probably as many colors as there are fingerprints. There are probably as many colors as there are different snowflakes. They probably, look, so a while back I learned that some of the stones that people aren't necessarily concerned with, a garnet you could probably get for $2 somewhere, you know what I mean? An amethyst, topaz, they're not as expensive. But some of these stones are mentioned in the New Jerusalem. And the New Jerusalem is being spoken of as brilliant. And so some scientists, they had some stones and they put them under the most pure light that they could get. And they saw the radiance and beauty of the stone that you can't otherwise see in natural light. Right? You can't see it. And I'm assuming that God is saying we're going to shine like the sun, number one. But if there's any shades that we've never seen before, we'll be able to see it in his light. And we're still one race. One race of people. Why is it then, if we knew we were one body, you know, I think we would have, and this is what, look, this is given to us, okay, the believers. If we knew we were only one body, I think we'd have at least the inclination to take our disputes to the Lord. Because that's what we do. Christians, this is how they roll, okay? We don't leave it at my own standard. This needs prayer. I need to go right to God. I need to go talk to God and take my issue to the Lord. I have to do it. We have to do it. And I believe that if you don't do it, you're in a family. Why is it the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, oh, you yellow bottom, you know the word, or you black bottom, right? It's my brother had an incident with an Arabian guy in San Jose, my oldest brother. And it was a traffic incident. And what happened was the Arabian guy couldn't think of the derogatory N-word. He couldn't get it. He was trying it. And he said, you block. Block, man. Right? Yeah, right? Okay, so... So this is all he could do to get his frustration out and to be, you know, racially offensive because he couldn't think of the word. The one he wanted to use was the N-word. And my brother, who's, you know, he really ordinarily would have been in a fight with the guy. And what happened was he laughed. He had to laugh. And so what I'm saying is that, okay, in this spectrum of colors of ours, from left to right, we're going to have differences. But to believe that we're better or worse than each other is definitely not godly. It's ungodly. It's not biblical. Defunding the police, that sounds, it's scary, you know, and, you know, it's scary to think of. And I'm not trying to tell the outside world what to do in this case. I would prefer reformation, some reform or something, but I don't necessarily try to correct. If you ask me, of course I would tell you. But my answer is going to be biblical. And if you're not into the Bible, you're not going to listen to me, you know, or you might listen so that you can better your argument to go against the Bible. You know what I mean? But it's like, what's the main cause? All right, in our body, we have to be sensitive to the fact that a darker shade person in the body of Christ was murdered in clear view of the whole world, basically. And this is a new era. You know, you can watch murder. You usually see a disclaimer or something, you know, but now, you know, you get to watch the whole thing until the last breath. It's just crazy. And, but that's not a world that God would have made for us. This is the enemy's version. It's counterfeit and it's all opposite. But, if I heard from my human race brothers and sisters that are lighter shaded or have a lighter shade, that lighter shaded people, they suffer that. They get killed by the police too. Statistically speaking, this happens all the time. Well, when you're looking at statistics, you have to kind of figure or factor in. All the news that we're getting is considered fake and biased. Why wouldn't a statistical survey be put together? Couldn't it be put together with a bias also? Think about it. Yes, white people outnumber black people being murdered by the police. Killed by the police is what the lighter shaded people are saying. I'm going to have struggle here. I'm trying not to use black or white because I don't believe that we're black or white. But why are the lighter shaped people murdered in more enormous numbers by the police or killed? I'm sorry. Killed. Well, they were doing something in most cases that warrants shooting. If I'm riding my bike and I get killed by the police, that needs to be a different survey. If I'm actually walking to the store or if I call the police because Josh is breaking in the window, I don't want to get killed. So if I'm getting killed for unjust reasons, this is not. That's murder. God condones killing, capital punishment. He doesn't condone murder. So this is something to think about. If I get from someone in the body of Christ, let's relegate your issue to null and void. You're in the body. Someone in your body got killed. Not a black man, but a different shade of skin in the same body got killed. This is what happened. And if you look at it differently, and I'm not for defunding the police, but if the enemy has his way and what he's doing here, is to set his own throne up for worship, and Christians refuse to worship the enemy, and he's actually in charge of the police, you might reconsider defunding and have a different frame of mind. So this is not a call to consider defunding the police. This is a call to have mercy and compassion on your brother in the body. Because that's not just a black man from a black church, right, that suffered injustice. That's a member of the human race of which you're part of with a different shade of skin. That's your body. It got injured. It's like the body that is preached about all the time. If one member suffers, we all suffer. It's something wrong if we're not all suffering about a member of our body. Did I make that point? Okay. So it's not about defunding the police. It's about showing compassion and mercy and seeing past your own pain. We cannot, we will not please God by not sticking out the olive branch between each other, trying to see past our own pain. It kind of works like this. Say forgive you, say I'm sorry, say I'm this or say I'm that. Apologize to each other. It's the first one that apologizes. If you notice, the one that got the apology is now warming up. That's God's way. This is his way. The Christian approach for doing things is different than the world's approach. Satan has a strategic plan. It's diabolical. He's gonna win for the most part until he's dethroned. The whole bowing, knee bowing, all of this stuff, or Colin Kaepernick started it. He had a motive. I think it was he's concerned about injustice. That kind of got, this is in the world. That kind of got pushed back and all kinds of, he suffered all kinds of sorts of stuff. Then George, what's the guy's name? Fowler? Floyd. Gets a knee, the same kind of knee. It's almost like it was staged. And if it wasn't, it's like Satan was in the details. The devil was in there. Put your knee on him as if this is related to Colin Kaepernick, right? But now I'm understanding that people are coming out from everywhere, police and everyone, taking a knee. Now, that looks admirable and honorable, and it looks, what is it? It looks like we're gaining some momentum. But who are you bowing to? You need to know you're taking a knee. Who are you bowing to? And while the masses are bowing, taking this knee, it kind of sets the stage for some bowing that's going to be taking place that's not to God. And so this is still a hard pill to swallow, because anyone would say, well, no, we're bowing for the purpose to that. We know what the reason is, but bowing is something that we do to God. And if you're not bowing to him, you're bowing to something else by default. And that's the prince of this world. I want us to consider what I'm saying. Now, Jesus suffered police brutality. I mean, in an unfair court system and all that you can think of. He wasn't even supposed to be tried that night. There were all kinds of steps that were overlooked and shortcutted so that he could be put to death. It wasn't just Pilate's government of soldiers, but the Sanhedrin, they had police. That one policeman slapped him in the mouth. Then he went to Pilate. They mocked him, beat him, spit on him, scourged him, put a crown of thorns on his head. That's not protocol for a court hearing. This is this police brutality. This is what Jesus suffered. Okay? All right. Then he's drug out and crucified like a criminal. By the way, this is the kind of law enforcement we can look forward to under the regime of Satan. Rome didn't just implode. It went underground and came up all over the world. It's Rome now. And those Roman soldiers created crucifixion. These guys are brutal. So expect, do you really think that Satan just wants a division between lighter skinned people and blacker skinned people? Do you think that's all he wants? His target is anyone that will not worship him. If you're not going to worship me, you might wish you defunded the police. Because, I mean, and I'm saying that to our lighter shaded, look, for the purpose of unity, I want us to unify. I don't want this division. And God doesn't want it. And he's going to place it in the heart of any believer. If you're a believer, he's going to place this desire of unity against all odds. Okay? Because that's not what he wants. We're going to suffer. Christ said it. When Christ rose again, he didn't get up and say, we need to defund these police. You know, that wasn't his mission. He said, look, you're going to suffer for me. So it kind of makes it kind of still the hard pill to swallow. But this is the pill that we need to take. Because some pill doesn't come with sugar, but it's good for you. It's going to help us. It'll keep us alive into eternity, where we won't suffer the second death. So I think this is a controversial message. I should have put out a disclaimer before I started that the views here are not necessarily been run past my pastor, Jamie, or any of the other staff. But I think, and this isn't just me, because look, we're running around giving opinions everywhere, and it's just not good. Opinions are good, they're as good as what we take to the Lord. You know, my outfit today. It's just as good. I was late with everything, but I'm here. But opinions are what God gives us the right to reason. But he says, let us reason together. This is what the Lord is saying. Let us come and reason together. And we know that when we're reasoning together under him, he's going to be in the mix. And somebody's going to get something that is stellar, not just an opinion. Where we're going to get something that we can live on. Something that's going to help sustain us through this crazy time. So, I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to pray that this, what I'm going to pray for is that this would be considered. Not, look, the church isn't forcing anyone. But we're trying to get you to consider Christ, and that Christ would be first your Savior and your Lord, and that this promise that he's offering us, you won't forsake it, because a new heaven and a new earth is not what some people are thinking. It's not one big church service. It will be this place void of George Floyd incidents, murders, scheming, treachery. It will really have the peace we're seeking and have been seeking, just looking in the wrong place. So, bow your heads with me.